We encourage you to turn to the 34th Psalm. And I believe the first three verses of Psalm 34 as we kick off what I think is going to be an amazing 6 weeks here at Harvest Church. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We're starting a 6 week adventure here at Harvest Church. Because Jennifer's been sick, we didn't get the newsletter out with all the information, but I'm going to tell you so it works fine. And you're here, and that's what we are. You're the people who need to hear this. We're going to do a 6 week experiment. Experience of growing together in prayer. Now, prayer is one of those tough things. Anytime you get a smaller group together where people are being honest and you bring up the subject of prayer, most people kind of cringe because I know I should pray more and I don't. And I know I should pray better and I don't know how. And I know you start down the list, and there are a few hardy souls, I guess is the right word, who somehow manage to maintain a disciplined prayer life over long periods of time. But honestly, for most people, it's a real struggle. Can I say that? Okay. You've been there, haven't you? I have too. I'm the preacher, for goodness sake, you know. But there's dry spells and there's good spells, and we go through those times. But part of our problem with prayer is not knowing how to pray in a better and deeper way. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to, 1 week at a time, I'm going to talk about a particular aspect of prayer. And then in your bulletin, you'll get some kind of a nifty colored half sheet that'll help us actually practice what we talk about and do something about it. Now, during these 6 weeks, I'm inviting you to make a commitment to regular prayer time. Like I say, I know some of you are already very good at that. God bless you all. And some of you struggle with that. And God bless you. We're not here to make anybody feel bad or guilty. We're here to help us do better together. And today I want to focus on that part of prayer that's called praise. And that first commitment that I want to invite you to is to take some time every day this week to praise God in prayer, to lift up his name, to glorify him, to praise him for who he is. And after this week, we'll work on something next week. We'll talk about praying for your own needs. Well, you're not supposed to do that. Yes, you are. We'll get to that next week. But then we'll go on in a number of different aspects of prayer that we can build on. This week, the praise thing, and that's not saying praise God for a week and then stop. It's saying take a week and get used to incorporating the praise of God into your prayer life. And then next week, we'll add and we'll add and we'll add and we'll add, trying to make our prayer lives together richer, more complete, more fulfilling, more effective. So that's what we're about, and like I say, today, especially focusing on the business of prayer, of praise, I mean. And I start there for a reason, because a lot of people say, how do I start praying? You get a new Christian, or somebody, sometimes been a long-time Christian, kind of knows how to throw up a please help me God emergency prayer, but where do I start if I really want to learn to pray more deeply. And I think Jesus gives us a pretty good hint of that. Remember, his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And what did he do? He taught them that prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, or if you grew up with a Catholic background, called the Our Father. But how does that prayer start? Our Father who art, yeah, there you go. Our Father, there you go. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the old King James way, but I think that's how most of us, if you've learned that prayer, learn to say it. But notice how it starts. It addresses God. Now, there's a whole thing on God as Father. We're not going to get to that one this week. Hallowed or holy be your name. And what that is the praise of God. Saying, God, I'm talking to you, my Father God. Holy be your name. Now, we're not used to using language like that. It feels a little odd, doesn't it? Say, holy be thy name, O Lord. It's okay to pray in normal, everyday English. God understands it very well. And he knows that's the language of your heart. In fact, one of the barriers a lot of people run into with prayer is the only prayers they hear are public prayers being offered from the platform. And I know as I was growing up, they were always couched in King James English, often by people who didn't know King James English well enough to keep their verb and noun senses consistent. And all sorts of weird things got said. Don't get me started. Anyway, we had a guy who prayed to God. He was praying for the defeat of Satan in such a way he got his words tangled up, and was actually, if you listen to him, literally was praying for Satan's success. We all knew what he meant, but he couldn't keep his sentences straight. Okay, we're not trying to be English teachers, and God's not an English teacher. And if you botch up your sentence structure, and if you say something so inarticulate that somebody listening in wouldn't even know it, he still knows. In fact, the book of Romans talks about praying with groans too deep for words. When you get to that point, he knows. He understands. And he understands everyday English. You don't have to come and say, "Oh, mighty God," and, you know, stretch your vowels out and all that. If that works for you, go ahead. It's okay. It's not a bad thing, but it's not necessary. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. What am I going to do now? Yeah. If you don't know what else to say, that's what you say. Lord, I don't know what else to say, but I'm here. Help me to say something. Make this prayer work. Well, when Jesus' disciples said, "Teach us to pray," he started, "Father in heaven, holy be your name." And what he's doing there is with a brief sentence of praise, acknowledging to whom he's praying. See, this may sound strange, but if you're a longtime Christian, it may not have even occurred to you, but people sometimes throw up kind of generic prayers that, God or Allah of the Muslims or Krishna of the Hindus or, you know, Thor of the Ragnarok or, could be to anybody. Just, "Oh, help me." Okay. Jesus says, focus in. You're not just praying. You're praying to your Father God, whose name is holy. That's a great beginning point. To remember, acknowledge, state to whom you're praying and the nature of the God to whom you are praying. See, I remember the distinction. We've talked about this before. Praise and thanksgiving are two different things. Most of us have done a pretty good job of learning to thank God in our prayers. You know, "Lord, thank you for my family. Thank you for the blessings of my life. Thank you that I have a job," or that we know how to do that. And thanksgiving is a legitimate part of prayer. But we're not even addressing that in this particular series, because I'm far more concerned about places where most people struggle, and praise is one of those places. Praise of God is not thanking him for what he's done. It's appreciating Him for who He is. Oh, Lord, You are the Creator of the universe. Lord, You're a God who has reached down into Your messy world in Your love and allowed Your Son to be sacrificed to pay the price of my sins. Oh, Lord, You're a God who sustains His people through the tough times and gives them great joy in the good times. Oh, God, You're eternal. I can trust You to keep me forever. And, well, you get the idea. You see what you're doing there? You're not saying, thank You, God, that I've got this or got that. You're saying, God, You are all these incredible things. And I worship You with that. I praise You for that. I thank You for that. Not for stuff You've done, but for who You are. And that's a critical beginning point. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I kind of want to pray, but what if God doesn't want to hear from me? You know, what if the first thing He thinks when He hears my name is, oh, gee, oh, no, not you. Do you ever feel that way? I think everybody has, haven't you? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's just kind of, we wrestle with that. And praise is part of breaking through that. To say, God, my Father, I'm not here praying to some angry, distant God who just would love to squash me when He gets the opportunity. I'm praying to a glorious, gracious, creative, loving, sacrificing God who's brought me life. And you see what a difference that makes when you start prayer that way? It's not, oh God, here I am again, I'm sorry. It's, Lord, You are so incredible. You love me. You've redeemed me. You've set me free. And once you've gone through a series of praises like that, you can't go back to the, I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah. You come in that wonderful freedom of the children of God. What a blessing that is. And that takes away so much of the burden that's often what people experience when they pray. So start with praise. And remember to whom you're praying. And remember the nature of the one to whom you're praying. How incredible. There's a God out there who cares enough to even listen to you and me. I mean, you ever think about, what did you ever do for God that He owes you even a listen? Well, truth is nothing. But He listens anyway because it's His nature to love you. There, praise You, Lord. Because You've made it Your nature, Your desire to love and fulfill. I'm so blessed. And you see the focus that puts when we go into prayer. And praise is one of the keys of moving our prayer experience from running through a little list of God bless grandma, God bless grandpa, and all you know, the routine that you may have learned as a child, to experiencing the presence and power of God. Wouldn't that be a great addition to your prayer life? To actually come into the presence, to sense the working of God in your life and heart? And that comes through praise. I think it's very instructive that the modern praise movement has come as the church has recovered the whole understanding that Christianity is not a religion about God, but a relationship with a living God. Oh, I'm so glad somebody figured that one out. Because I look at my early Christian life as a junior high and high school kid, I hadn't figured this one out. And God, I had a religion about God. And I had some people who told me it was supposed to be a relationship with God, and I wanted that, but I didn't know, how do you get there? How do I actually learn to step into the living presence of a holy God? How does that work? I was very frustrated, I got to tell you. But out of that very time that was one of the great discoveries going on in God's larger church, there was a recovery also of praise. Now, most of you survived the worship wars somewhere during your life, for the church moved from being classic organ and piano and a little bit of Bach to get us started and all that to what we now do with praise music. I'm not so concerned, and I don't think God's so concerned, about how many guitars and drums we have on stage or whether we use a massive pipe organ, as the recovery that's happened in the last few years of understanding the praise of God, that we're not just there singing words that are theologically correct, but that we're connecting with God by expressing our praise out loud to Him. And that's why people sometimes encourage you to actually sing when we sing together. Not because you're a great singer. Some are, some aren't. God help us all. But we're here to participate together and to lift up together the praise of God, which is part of the experience of coming into His presence. That's what the 100th Psalm has, that interesting phrase in it, that enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And like so many of the Psalms, that's a reference to the old Jewish temple. And you come through the gates, and the presence of God dwelt in that temple in a visible, tangible way. Come through the gates with thanksgiving. That's kind of the entryway. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thanks for your blessings. But into His courts, where the worship action really happens, with praise. You want to move your prayer from being a long list of things and, I forgot to pray about that, but into stepping into the living presence of a living God. It all starts with that simple act of praising Him, remembering who He is and celebrating that before Him. And that key entry point, of course, Thanksgiving's there. You know that one. But praise, that one we're going to keep working on. And after the text we read this morning at the beginning, Psalm 34, a little later on, it says, after an extended psalm of praise of God, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Experience. Experience God. Come through the gates of thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, and let Him wash over you. Praise is one of the key entryways to moving beyond religious talk to God Himself. And praise is also the entryway to joy in the Lord. See, if God's just God out there somewhere, and I hope He's okay with me, and maybe I'm going to go to heaven if I do good enough, and blah, 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 you don't get much joy out of that. In fact, what you get is a bunch of guilt and obligation. Do you already have enough guilt and obligation in your life without adding to it? I don't know about you. I stir it up pretty well myself without a lot of help. But, if I want to enter into the joy of the Lord, from Psalm 147:1, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Come before God. The only right response when you really start to touch on who it is you're worshiping, to whom it is you're praying, the only right response is to praise Him. And that brings an overflow of joy. An overflow of joy. What an incredible gift to celebrate who God is, and as you do that, to be touched by Him. It's an entryway into joy, and to live in the Lord is to praise Him all day long. See, our prayer times set aside are meant to be practiced for everyday life. Where, yeah, I praise God when I come to Him in prayer, but then at 9:30 when something else comes up, I still need to come back to Him. And praise will change your day. If when things kind of go south, instead of focusing on the problem and the hurt, you focus on Him. Oh, what a difference that makes. I still serve a great God. I'm still loved and saved and redeemed. It's all mine. I thank you, God, that you're a God who does that kind of thing. And by the way, this other stuff's going on. I guess I need to deal with that too. But see the difference. I've had a rough couple days, the last several days. I walked in to pay something downtown and reached in my pocket and my wallet wasn't there. And I have torn the house apart. Pat's even looked, because you know men can't see things when they look for them. Pat's torn the house apart, my car apart. I've gone through everything I can. None of my credit cards have been abused out there in public. Have I lost it? Is it in the gutter somewhere? Got kicked down the drain? I simply don't know. And don't tell Pat this, but I'm a bit of a cheapskate. I'm a little bit, that's the kind of thing that drives me losing money. We had to go spend money yesterday. It just about put me over the edge. And sorry. You're a good woman to endure what you do. But that really has eaten at me. In the last several days, I've just been a little off stride, a little uncomfortable. But I've managed to get through it by remembering who I serve. See, I'm not my provider. And if we never find that, if some wicked thief somewhere is holding on to my credit card, I'm going to live. And I'm going to live forever in the kingdom of God. And when I stop and remember the blessings, when I remember who's with me, I'm still a little off stride because of that, but it changes me. I'm dealing with it. And I, frankly, the old Doug would not have dealt with this very well. That little cheapskate side of me that wants to cling. Count them two $100 bills stuffed deep in that wallet, just in case. Never gone. You know, not to mention the Quick Star card from the youth group had almost $200 left on it, and it's gone. So even if nobody abuses my credit card, wow, all that money, and you know what? God's still on the throne. I'm still loved. He is glorious. He is my provider, and He promises to provide, and it's okay. It really is. And praise makes all the difference. See what I'm saying? Living in the Lord, praise all day long. I kind of got off on that one. I didn't plan to tell that story, but it's so much on my mind, I couldn't not tell it, I guess. But I just want to remind you that the passage in Isaiah, it's in Isaiah 61, talking about Jesus, and it's a passage he actually used when he preached in his home synagogue. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for all those who grieve in Zion, and to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and then a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. A garment of praise. See, praise isn't meant to be something you do for 2 minutes as you open your morning prayer devotionals. Praise is meant to be something you wear like a garment all day long. It goes with you. And wherever life takes you, you kind of got that garment of praise wrapped around you. And whatever happens, you're able to say, praise God, because he's got the answers to this. Because he's a God who knows what's going on. He's a God who's going to see me through it. You get the idea. Wear it like a garment. I in a town I lived in a few years ago, there was a guy who, he was a little bit odd. He'd had a mental breakdown after a teenage son died tragically. And Bob had gone through a terrible, terrible depression, slipped into mental illness, and as he came out, someone helped him understand the importance of praising God in all circumstances. And like I say, it was a little strange because he's one of those guys, you say, hey, Bob, it's raining, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Yep. So, it's, what are you doing these days? Praise the Lord. That was his answer in everything. And he got a little tiresome, I got to say. But I understood he had come through one of those experiences of life that threatened to utterly destroy him. And the one thing that kept him sane, that kept him from totally going over the edge into suicide or the mental asylum, was learning to say, praise God. And in his own peculiar way, he wore praise as a garment. It was always on his lips, the praise of God. And I learned to actually appreciate that. I don't quite want to go that route of overdoing like that, but that's what kept him, because he had a garment of praise about him day and night. And he was actually a fairly happy man. Well, okay, all this, what are we going to do about it? Well, look at that. I just happened to have a yellow sheet that came out of the bulletin. I hope you got a bulletin coming in. If you didn't, please get one on the way out. I see there's some on the back table. But part of what I'm asking you to do with a commitment to regular prayer through these 6 weeks is to focus your prayers on the thing that we're talking about, especially. And each week I'm going to give you something to help you move into that. And let me say, if you don't need this, there's also a wastebasket back there. Praise God. That's the point. But I think you'll find this very helpful, breaking through the business of praise. I will praise God. It says that's the front where it says I'll praise God at the top. Pick a couple of the verses on the back of the sheet and pray them out loud, if possible, to God. And if the praises that are in that scripture are in the third person, I will praise God, always make it second person. I will praise you, God. Always put it that way where you're speaking the praise to him. You're not abusing the scripture, to change the pronoun reference a little bit there. And make it where it's praise not about God, but praise to God. And then another exercise, choose one of the attributes of God that you especially appreciate today. And there's a little list there where you can put one down each day. And there's a list of attributes of God on the back that is by no means comprehensive, but meant to help you get the idea. God is a God of peace. Oh, man. Some days that's where I need to start. God's a God of righteousness. God of joy, God of love, faithfulness, he's eternal. Choose one and just say to God, Lord, I praise you that you are that you're a God of joy, that you don't bring me to your side to make me miserable, but you're a God whose work will bring me the joy of the Lord. Lord, what a great God you are, that rather than angrily stomping around and being mad at us, and we surely deserve it, that you offer joy and that you're a God who exudes joy. Thank you. Praise you, God. God, my joy. Get the idea? You can take it. You can run with that. Take one of those scriptures, two of them it says, and just pray them out loud, if possible, out loud. And then number three, name one or more areas of your life where you struggle to sense God's presence or blessing. where is my wallet? Okay? Find that. And for each one, list something about God that speaks to that situation. God, I thank you that you're a God who is a provider for his people. Thank you, God, that you're a God who protects his children. Thank you. And find that way of praising him, not thanking him for the bad situation, but praising him for who he is in the midst of the bad situation, and offer that up as part of your prayer. And what is important there at the end, whether you feel it or not, praise God for those things with the hard situation in mind. Well, four quick things. One, make the praise of God the first act of your prayer time. It's no accident that's how Jesus opens his model prayer. Hallowed be your name. Oh, Lord God, the Father of Jesus Christ, the one who, praise him first. No matter what else is going on, remember who you're praying to before you get to the other stuff. If possible, I'll get in trouble. Praise him out loud. Now, I know if you're sitting at the kitchen table doing your devotions and the kids are in the living room watching TV and shouting, you say, oh God, I pray, is not going to pray. And in the middle of the restaurant after church, no, that's probably not going to impress anybody and create a little problem. Not what we're saying. But if you can, during your private prayer time, speak the praise of God out loud. You know, even in our big echoey house, when I'm trying to praise God, I try to at least whisper it out loud. And, you know, Pat, I know you're not going to be upset if you hear me praising God. It still feels weird, I got to tell you. But I've tried to do that out loud. And in the car, driving into work, oh, yeah, nobody listening there. They better not be. If you're listening to me in the car, you don't have much of a life, let me tell you that. But then I can really speak the praise of God out loud and with vigor as if I mean it. Praise him out loud. Praise him in song. Ah, yeah, I so appreciate the music that God's brought into his church. I love the old hymns. I love the new praise music, whatever floats your boat. But sing the praise of God. You know, even the simplest, I don't know if you remember, if you survived the 70s, some of you weren't born, I know. Lord, I praise you, Lord, I praise you, Lord, I praise you, I praise you, Lord. That's pretty simplistic, but you know what? You can sing that while you're driving, and he hears that, and it moves your heart. Praise him in song. Use scripture to give words to your praise. That's why we're doing that with the scriptures on the back of the yellow sheet. If you don't know where to start, let God give you some words. Especially in the book of Psalms, there's so much praise. There's a lot of other stuff too. But, you know, if you would go through the book of Psalms with a colored pencil and underline every sentence that could be a praise to God, you'll have a resource for your praise life for the rest of your life. Oh yeah, that one. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Go for it. And be especially alert for opportunities to praise God when you're tempted to get angry, down, or negative. Often the best praise comes from our hearts when things aren't going like we want them to. Praise God anyway. You know, he's still worthy. He's still God. He's still all the things we praise him for. So go ahead, praise him anyway. Even if you're not too thrilled about how we got where we are. Well, that's what I want to lay out today. A challenge, what I hope is a simple challenge, but hard to do, you know? It's easy to say, oh yeah, here you are, here's your outline, all that. I know it's hard to grow in prayer. All of us struggle with that. But for the next 6 weeks, we're going to have an opportunity together to learn some things, to practice some things, and to go deeper in the experience of deep prayer with God. I hope you'll make that commitment. We're not going to do raising hands or signing a sheet or whatever, but I want to invite you to make a serious commitment that for these 6 weeks, I will be steady in prayer, and I will practice the things that we're doing together as a congregation. I hope you'll do that. Lord, we praise you. You are worthy of our praise. And Lord, when we remember who you are, we also remember how blessed we are to know and love you. Hear our praise, O King of the universe. You who reach, redeem, and love your children, hear our praise, O God. And let that praise resound in our hearts through this week, through a lifetime, and then forever. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. In the name of the one who's worthy of